GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Alex Stone. Tennessee House Republicans vote to expel two black Democrats for taking part in a protest calling for more gun control last week.
What we were saying was let us pass an assault weapons ban. Let's take action. And they responded by assaulting democracy.
Those expelled were state representatives Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. They were expelled, but Democratic State Representative Gloria Johnson, a white woman, survived the expulsion resolution. Local officials in Ohio say a teenager potentially averted a school shooting. West Geauga Superintendent Richard Marquardt says a 17-year-old alerted a resource officer about a bullet found in a school bathroom on Monday. He says police arrested a student who brought a 9mm to campus. Vice President Harris outside of Atlanta announcing a new solar energy expansion today.
I am proud to announce that Qcells has received a new order for 2.5 million solar panels.
Harris saying those panels will go to community solar projects. This is ABC News. Congressional leaders are inviting the president of South Korea to address a joint meeting during a visit to Washington later this month. Honda recalling close to 564,000 CRVs, but only in cold weather states. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says at issue is road salt, which can cause a frame to rust, and the rear suspension parts can come loose. The artist, formerly known as Kanye West, is facing a new lawsuit.
Cecilia Haley and her daughter, Shekere Byers, were employed as teachers at Donda Academy. The lawsuit alleges they were fired last March in retaliation for reporting code violations and that they were discriminated against based on their race. In the lawsuit, they claim there were no janitorial services or nurses on staff, an overall lack of security, as well as a complaint about student medications stored in a closet with other expired medications. Ike Ajachi, ABC News, Washington.
I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and I'll tell you what, it's more fun than tipping cows. And actually, you shouldn't really tip the cows, okay? They don't tip as easy as they think, and they might kick you in the... Never mind.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. About 40% of Wisconsin voters cast ballots in Tuesday's election. Unofficially, a little more than 1.8 million people in Wisconsin voted. That's a record for a spring election not held at the same time as a presidential primary. Wisconsin Republicans do not sound keen on impeaching Democrats after winning a supermajority in the state Senate Tuesday.
They would need to do something very serious, so no, we are not looking to start the impeachment process as a regular occurring event in Wisconsin.
That's Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu speaking with Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Dan Knoedel won a special election Tuesday, giving Republicans a two-thirds majority in the state Senate. In sports, the Bucks will be the top-seeded team in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs after last night's win over Chicago. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling? I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
help. There is nothing here for you working people. And that's my frustration. There are ways we could alleviate some of this. But what have we done? Well, we've had the Fed slam on the brakes, raise interest rates, and harm consumers even further. Is this going to bring prices down? No, because corporate America doesn't care. All they care about is feeding the profit monster. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. This clearly not going away anytime soon. Quick break, right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, history was made today. Congratulations, Tennessee. You have made yourself the racist state of the country. But what happened today in Tennessee? Absolutely outrageous. Every American should be outraged by what happened in Nashville today. And the thing is remember this, because we're living a moment that will be in the textbooks if Republicans don't ban textbooks. This is what an assault on democracy looks like, and the kind of assault that we haven't seen in decades. I mean, this is grotesque and angering. Now, in the 227 years of Tennessee's history, there have only been 9 people who have ever been expelled from that state's General Assembly. 9. Now, they actually have the list of what they've done. 6 of them refused to allow citizenship for former slaves. So 6 of them are way, way back and horrible people. One was took a $1,000 bribe to kill a bill. So he's corrupt as all can be. One was gross sexual misconduct. And I got to wonder what gross sexual what was it that led to the expulsion, because in a second I'm going to get to a bunch of another one was alleged misappropriation of federal funds. Misappropriation, that's a really nice way of saying stealing. They pocketed a bunch of federal money that probably went to poor kids, you know, to feed them or to, you know, make sure that they had a roof over their head. Better in these people's pocket. Now, to lay the groundwork, everyone remembers the shooting that happened the other day. Someone went into a school, fired off 152 rounds, murdered 6 people. 3 of them were 9-year-olds. 3 of them were 9-year-old children. And you immediately had the Republicans in Tennessee come out and say, oh, this is tragic. It's a shame. But we're not doing anything. Don't bother. This is just how it's going to be. So people got a little inflamed. People got a little loud. And you had 3 representatives who took to the floor to voice their displeasure after being told to shut up and you know, have their microphones turned off and all of the things to try and block representatives from speaking on the floor of their General Assembly. One of them had a bullhorn, a little megaphone, actually. So this evidently is cause to expel them. Now, remember, the only people who had been expelled before were people who denied, six people who denied former slaves citizenship, one who was got convicted of bribery, one gross sexual misconduct, and again, in a second, and another one who stole federal money. All this guy did was speak into a microphone when they shut off the microphone that's in the General Assembly. So today what happened is two of the three members, two black men and a white woman, two of those three were ousted, expelled, thrown out, kicked out of their jobs. One by a vote of 72 to 25, another by a vote of 69 to 26. I want to know who the ones who changed their vote are. Now, can you guess of what I laid out? Two black guys and a white woman. Who the two were that were thrown out? Can we guess? Anybody fancy a guess on because the numbers are there already. You don't need to go far to figure it out. Yeah, the two black guys got thrown out. Was there any question of that in Tennessee? Now, what I loved is as this representative, Justin Jones, was defending himself, he said, look, you know, in you're going to throw me out for talking into a megaphone when there's a member of this body who's been convicted of domestic violence. There's a former speaker and a current member under federal investigation. Another, someone peed on a member's chair. You have an admitted pedophile. Yes. Yes, there is an admitted pedophile. So child molesters, domestic abusers, corrupt politicians, those are fine. But how dare you talk loudly into a megaphone? I mean, my first thought was every Democrat tomorrow should show up with a megaphone on the floor. And for the rest of this session, until these two men are back in the General Assembly, should be using a megaphone every day. This is an absolute disgrace, an absolute assault on democracy. And look, it's an attempt to silence people who want that Tennessee General Assembly to do something to protect the children. We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about someone who they were bad. They didn't know their place. And this is kind of a big deal, I think. Now, I guess what's going to happen is I guess they're going to have a special election. And do you think these two guys are going to go back to their districts and lose? Oh, no. And what Republicans have done is they've made these two guys now the next generation of MLKs, the next generation of John Lewis. They've made these guys the future face of a movement. They had their minute. They've got their minute. They've silenced the people who didn't know their place. And I come back to this moment where you look at the fact that only 9 people have been expelled from that body over 227 years. And now 2 more are going to be added for talking into a megaphone. How do you think history is going to remember that? Now, again, remember, Tennessee is a state that has racial problems for generations. You know, you go back to, they were one of the states who mastered the convict lease programs, where they would arrest a bunch of black men, throw them in jail, and then force them to go break strikes in the mines while the governor made money off of their labor. Yeah, that's their history. So am I surprised that this went this way? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. But we're in this moment where I hope people are paying attention to what the Republican Party has become. And it saddens me that the Republican Party is this kind of authoritarian. And if you needed a reason to start looking at voting rights and start looking at racial issues in places like Tennessee and to undo what the Supreme Court has done, I don't know how else you do this. Because if they get away with it here, if Ron DeSantis gets away with throwing states attorneys off the off the rolls because he doesn't think he's doing the right job, and then appointing his kind of attorney. Aren't you concerned? And I know I hear it all the time. You know, they should have known their place. Their place is defending those kids. I wish Republicans would think about children as much as the rest of us do. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Lots to get to. Right back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1882. That was the day trade union leader and suffragist Rose Schneiderman was born. She arrived from Poland and settled in New York City with her family as a child. Her father died soon after, and Rose entered the workforce at the age of 13. She sewed caps and organized with the United Cloth and Cap Makers. Rose became a chief organizer with the New York Women's Trade Union League and played a prominent role in the 1909 uprising of the 20,000. While touring Ohio to rally support for women's suffrage in 1912, Schneiderman said, "What the women who labor wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as the rich woman has the right to life, and the sun and music and art. You have nothing that the humblest worker has not a right to have also. The worker must have bread, but she must have roses too." She grew frustrated with the privileged middle-class women of the New York Women's Trade Union League and began organizing with the ILGWU. But she soon quit, aggravated by the leadership's indifference towards organizing women workers. Schneiderman devoted her energies to women's suffrage. She would soon return to the Women's Trade Union League. By 1926, she served as its national president and became close friends with Eleanor Roosevelt. President Franklin Roosevelt appointed her to the National Advisory Board, where she wrote NRA codes for industries with women workers. Labor historian Annalise Orlek noted, "Schneiderman attacked sexual segregation in the workplace, tried to unionize women, called for state regulations of working conditions. She argued for comparable worth laws, government-funded childcare, and maternity insurance. Those ideas and dreams are the legacy of Rose Schneiderman." Labor History in Two brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
I have to concede one point. Today's far-right Republican Party does not discriminate against women. In fact, the GOP is giving its female political buffoons a higher profile than its male bozos. Consider Sarah Huckabee Sanders, governor of Arkansas, who became a star in the new Republican crusade to bring back child labor abuse. Pushed by their corporate backers, GOP governors and lawmakers exclaim that the answer to America's so-called labor shortage is not to make jobs more attractive, but to fill them with cheap, compliant children. Huckabee Sanders rushed to the aid of these corporate powers, eliminating a bothersome Arkansas law that had required Tyson, Walmart, and other big employers to get a special state permit to put any child under 16 to work. "The meddling hand of big government creeping down from Washington, D.C., she bellowed, will be stopped cold. We will get the over-regulating, micromanaging, bureaucratic tyrants off your backs." So she is using the meddling hand of big state government to creep into the lives of vulnerable children. She is not alone. Ohio's Republican-controlled state government is moving to extend the number of hours bosses can make children work. Iowa wants to let 14-year-olds work in industrial freezers and laundries, and Republicans in Congress have shrunk the number of investigators and lawyers policing child labor abuse so abusive corporate managers know there is little chance they'll be caught. Most damning, these corporate politicians value children so little that they've set the maximum fine for violating the workplace safety of minors at $15,000 per child. For multimillion-dollar conglomerates, that devaluation makes it much cheaper to endanger children than protect them. This is Jim Hightower saying, America should not even be talking about child safety rules in dangerous workplaces. It's shameful to have any children working there.
Welcome Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Our a-hole of the day, Kansas Speaker, Republican Speaker, Daniel Hawkins. You look at a picture of this guy, you get this sense that he spends a lot of time thinking about children's genitals, which is why they passed this bill to inspect. Got to inspect. And I'm like, how are you going to do this? Because I'm thinking about football. I'm thinking about, you're going to put up a little tent, like they do for the concussion protocol. Only now it's the genital protocol. Is this the future where we're going? Crazy. Nuts. And again, I have some problems with how things are being done. But this ain't it. This ain't it. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on how crazy today was and historic. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. She's a reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, happy Thursday. How the heck are you?
I've been better. I got to tell you, with all of the craziness that are, just this guy with the genital checks and, what's going on in Tennessee. I don't know how you can be okay with where we are.
That's kind of the weird thing that I feel like the Republican Party has sort of crossed over this line where they're like, they're so crazy about trans people that now they want to be pedophiles. Like they are actively advocating for everybody to be, when I was younger, we called him Chester, the child molester.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a total Chester.
But here's the thing. Today, for instance, there was a story that comes, I think it's Maryland, Baltimore, actually, that 150 Catholic priests and others associated with the Archdiocese of Baltimore abused over 600 children.
I know. And that hardly,
somewhere, and it's the end of humanity.
Right. I feel like that was, and we got that story, but it's like, I watched it just die a slow death. Like, people wanted to click on Donald Trump and all the other crazy stuff that's been going on. And it's like, you guys, like, do you not see this is part of this larger issue where Republicans just do not actually care about the well-being of children. They only care about pressing their agenda and creating this false narrative about gay people because they're so closeted. I don't know.
I was thinking
maybe
that.
Closeted, or maybe they just like have an appreciation for glitter and they think that makes them gay. They're so repressed in so many ways that you have to just wonder, like, what is really going on here?
I mean, look, I grew up in the Catholic Church and these stories were abound. And it's always amazing to me that no one ever really did anything. Both sides of the political aisle, Democrats or Republican, for generations. If anything needs to be investigated and broken up, let's not worry about a couple of drag queens. Let's worry about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing that kills me, is this is something where I feel like that's sort of what got rid of Ratzinger, right? Is they were just like, well, what if we just like kick him out of the Pope house, and then that'll help like solve all of the pedophilia stuff. And you're just like, what?
No, that's not how
this
works.
People need to go to jail. Like that is the thing. You abuse children, you should go to jail. Call me crazy.
Yeah, the whole altar boy thing was, in my mind was, like, you want to talk about groomers. Right there.
Right? I mean, how many kids have been abused at a drag show?
I don't know.
Really? I want to know.
Have we done studies on this? But here's the thing, and this is where you and I will probably disagree, and I'm going to probably take a bunch of crap, but I don't think you should have drag shows in front of kids. I don't want them in front of my kids. If you do, that's your right and your responsibility, and that's great. I don't think it's for them, but I'm also not going to say that you as a parent or anyone else as a parent cannot say yes. If I'm going to say no, that's my right to say no.
The drag clubs, they're bars. You have to be 21 to enter. I even asked, like, they really are all bars. And I asked if I could take my cousin, who is 15, to the drag brunch. And they were like, no, 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 no. It's a bar. You can't bring her in here. And I was like,
so what are we seeing?
She's not
going to
drink.
So what are we seeing then? Because, you know, I'm seeing all of these images of that are being put out, that you've got all of this obscene kind of stuff happening. And then they pan to the crowd and it's all kindergartners horrified. Is that real?
No. What is really happening is that there is a program called Drag Queen Story Hour. And drag queens go to the library and they read a book. Usually it's a book about acceptance and love and compassion and all of the things Republicans hate. And they just do it in full drag. They're not telling silly jokes about their, you know, outfits or their boys that they've been dating or like anything. They're not talking about their penis. They're not talking about anything. Like, they're literally reading a children's book about the penguins in the zoo who are gay, right? Like, it's just, it's something that Republicans have found to make up stuff about and freak people out, because this idea, like, old people get nervous when they see a dude in a dress, right? Like, that's really all it is I think people are just fighting this culture war that they've already lost. Yeah. And it's, you're going nowhere with it, bro. Like, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, I've seen a couple of dudes in dresses, and I my reaction is always the same. I kind of chuckle and go, yeah, good on you, or try harder. You know, there is judgment. There's judgment there, and I don't like to admit that, but there is. But
well,
I think
that's
okay, right?
That's the really important part of Drag Race, right? Like, when you watch Drag Race, it is important to have judgment, because you have to be able to say, like, look, like, George Santos was not a good drag queen. He just wasn't. I mean, I know he was trying. Like, the outfit was kind of there. The makeup was a catastrophe. The wig was a joke. Like, there, it was just all, it was terrible. But, you know, there are girls who do a heck of a drag act with some amazing costumes and just ridiculous wigs and makeup. And, you know, that's why they succeed. And George Santos just gets to fake his way to Congress.
Yeah. See, I think I'd make a really ugly drag queen. So I'm not going to do it. I've been to drag show. I've been to a drag show. My wife and I went years ago. I think she still got the picture of me laughing as the guy grabbed my behind. but it was, what do you call it? It's still a guy, right? The drag queen.
If she's in drag, it's a she.
Okay.
Because it's the queen.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that. Because, right? Look, how hard is that? How hard is it to not be offensive? And this is my problem in all this. If you don't want to dress up in a dress, and I think, again, I would look like a really ugly drag queen, I'm not going to do it. In fact, they don't make dresses big enough, I don't think. But you don't have to agree with it. You just don't be an a-hole about it.
Right. I mean, just based on your experience, did you have to be 21 to enter?
Yeah, this was.
It was a bar.
We were in our 30s.
See, like, this is not something that is being shoved down the throat of kindergartners. And it's not like, you know, you're being forced to bring your kids to drag story hour. It's an option. I mean, you just bring your kids if you want them to come, right? Yeah. Like, this is not, I don't understand why this is a thing, but,
well,
apparently,
but it's because I know why it's a thing. Because it's something to make us angry at each other and to fight over each other and for one side to beat up the other side. Because, look, I think the left is just as bad as the right on some occasions, because there are some people who just don't care. But now we're going to force it on you, and now they're forced to care. I think most people are like me. I don't care. Live and let live. You live your best life. I'll do the same. We'll all be good. How hard is
that? It is a heck of a lot easier to throw a fit about a drag queen than it is to solve, you know, the economic crisis or inflation or all of the things that Republicans ran on in 2022.
No, you're absolutely right. And look, let's flip over to what's going on in Nashville and in Tennessee. Perfect example. It's easier to make a story about something else than to deal with the real problem, which are three mm-hmm. murdered 9-year-olds and three murdered staff people. You had six people who were murdered by someone who got a gun, who had clear mental issues that should have been red flagged. 152 rounds expelled. They're not talking about that. They're talking about one guy who talked into a megaphone and another guy who said some loud words and a white woman who was there. She didn't get held accountable, of course, because that's not how we do things in Tennessee. But the two black guys, they got ousted.
Right. That's my favorite part of this whole thing is that they do the vote and the white lady, they're like, well, she didn't hold the bullhorn. And you're just like, oh, my God, you really are racist. Like this, there's no way to hide this, you guys. You basically just showed the world that not only are you just wretched human beings, but you're also really big racists.
And are we surprised by that? Are we shocked?
And that's kind of what happened today, too. And I mean, this is a state. Tennessee is like the seventh in the nation for gun violence. Tennessee, like we're not talking about Baltimore, Maryland, or New York City, or you know, LA. This is Tennessee, and they've got so much gun violence that that this has become such a serious issue. I think it's like, I don't want to say like in the lower 80s of the people in Tennessee want to see background checks. They want to bring back some of the regulations that there were for assault weapons. But the governor signed the new, like,
anybody can carry bill.
Yeah. The everybody can carry bill at the Beretta plant or something. And you're just like, wow, you're that guy.
Here's the thing. This is the part that makes me crazy is that, you know, I have friends who believe that more guns makes us safe. And I think John Stewart, you know, to his credit, brought this out. You know, when do we get that safety? At which point we've got, you know, what, 10 guns for every person that's alive in this country right now? When do we hit peak gun equaling peak safety?
And this is one of the things that Representative Johnson talked about whenever she did her speech, because she was the victim of a school shooting, right? Like she was, or a survivor, I suppose. She was a teacher and the school had a shooting and kids came flying into her classroom and she was trying to protect them. And that was one of the reasons that she ran for office. That's like her, you know, her route, her story. Right. About why she got involved. And she talked about, like, I was in a school that had three cops that were there, at least one security guard. I mean, everybody that you say needed to be there was there, and yeah, someone on. Still got killed.
Hold on. I thought Thomas Massie, the Republican representative from Kentucky, I just heard him scream at somebody in a hallway saying that there's never been a shooting in a school where we're I see the caveat, where teachers had guns. That was the caveat. It wasn't that there weren't armed resource officers or police officers. It was the armed teacher thing. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Like somehow the teachers are going to be so much better than law enforcement or people who are trained. Like they're just going to kind of hold it and like let it fire everywhere.
Yeah, well, I
like
mean,
a cartoon.
This is, again, I know it's cliche and I know it's been said 1,000 times, but I'm still amazed that there are people going, no, we want the teachers to have guns, but books, too far.
I know, right? That's been the greatest signs that I've seen at the Tennessee Capitol is whenever they've said, how about books instead of ban guns instead of books or something like that.
That's crazy. But, yeah. Listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. If you want to take a look at the work that she does there, good stuff. You've done an awful lot of writing on the indictment on Tuesday. As I said, my position on this is from the beginning, I he's never going to spend a day in jail. This isn't a gotcha moment. But there's some stories out there. Any of interest, do you think?
So there was one interesting story where some of the late night guys were debating about the idea of Trump in jail, and Lawrence O'Donnell had this strange, I think, from my perspective of who he is, you know, he just sort of was like, Trump's not going to go to jail because you can't have a president in jail. Like, how are you going to have Secret Service there? And Neil Katyal, who was the acting solicitor general for the Obama administration, kind of said, look, I got to push back on that because I think that is part of what the justice system is that nobody should be above the law. And if you like, especially when we talk about these documents, the documents case is like, I think that's the one that really gets him out of all of this. The other ones may get him, but that one is just going to, that feels to me like a slam dunk case where he is just totally screwed.
Because he keeps saying it. He keeps saying, I've got the right. He keeps talking. And this is where,
you know, dude, shut up.
This is where, you know, there was this story going around. Should the judge issue a gag order? No, if I'm the prosecution, I'm fighting that gag order.
Exactly, right? But yeah, like that was the thing that Neil was like, look, I think that is probably the most important thing that we could do as a society is say, no, nobody is above going to jail. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how we figure that out, but no one can be above that. That is the way that our society should work.
Yeah, I have figured it out with the help of my lovely wife. We have come to how Trump can be held accountable. When he, if he's convicted of any of these crimes, house arrest in a house that I grew up in. No golden toilets, and he's got to clean his own toilet, got to make his own meals. He can't leave the 900 square foot house that I grew up in. No maids, no servants. He's Secret Service around the perimeter, but he's in that house arrest in that home, and he's got to do his own grocery shopping, and he's got to pay his own bills, and he's got to live like an average American who's struggling right now to make ends meet. Because here's my thing. I am so tired of hearing about Trump and all of this nonsense, because I've said before, I don't think he's ever going to spend a day in jail, but we've got to go through this because I do want presidents held accountable. And I love the fact that somebody's now going, hey, maybe we should be looking at Bush. Maybe we should be looking at what got us into a war. Maybe we should be looking at that stuff. And I want my friend Bob Ney to be able to come on this show and tell me the crap that he was shoveled in front of his face when he voted to go into Afghanistan. I want that. Are we going to get it? I don't think so, but this is the beginning for me.
Oh, man, from your lips, right? I'm totally with you. Although you were much more generous than I was. I was thinking solitary, right? Like there are some studies about solitary confinement and that it is really, really terrible.
It's cruel and unusual. I'm a constitutional guy. I think what would be even more, and this is where, again, you know, I'm a bad human being. I think it would be even more cruel and unusual to make him do his own grocery shopping and clean his own toilet. Having to clean up after his own mess in his final, that there could be nothing worse than that.
I don't know. I think the way that they gave it to Paul Manafort, you know, like he was in that fancy cell where he had like his own phone or whatever.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I would be fine with that with no phone.
They have said that Secret Service, I've heard a couple of people say that Secret Service would have to go to jail with him because they got to protect him wherever he goes. So to have that in and out.
I mean, here's the thing. Like you could make it you could protect him very easily by just putting him in an area that nobody has any access to, don't let him be around other people.
Yeah. The house I grew up in.
Right.
That's where he has to go. That's where he has to go. That would be, I think what torture for him would be having to live like an ordinary American who's struggling to make ends meet, maybe give him a job that he's got to go that nobody appreciates the work that he does and never meets. And at the end of the month, the cupboards are empty and he has to go a day without a meal. Let's talk about what the average American goes through and let him figure that out. That's just me being cruel. But Sarah, I appreciate the time as always. Hope folks will check out the website, rawstory.com. My good friend, Sarah Burris, one of my favorite reporters. Sarah, as always, great stuff.
Have an awesome weekend, everybody.
Thanks so much, our good friend, Sarah Burris. Again, rawstory.com. Going to take a quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1917. That was the day that the United States declared war on Germany and entered World War I. The war had been raging since 1914, but the U.S. did not enter the conflict until 1917. Dubbed the War to End All Wars, the conflict transformed the work experience for many women. As men went off to fight, industries looked to women to fill the labor shortage. By the end of the war, 3 million new women workers had taken jobs in war industries and at work sites like food production facilities and textile mills. A year after the U.S. entered into the war, the Seattle Union Record described the impact on women workers, writing, "There has been a sudden influx of women into such unusual occupations as bank clerks, ticket sellers, elevator operator, chauffeur, streetcar conductor, railroad track walker, section hand, locomotive wiper and oiler, locomotive dispatcher, block operator, drawbridge attendant, and employment in machine shops, steel mills, powder and ammunition factories, airplane works, boot blackening, and farming." The Department of Labor established the Women in Industry Service to address the needs of this growing women's workforce. After the war, the initiative was renamed in 1920 to the Women's Bureau. Its charge was to, quote, "formulate standards and policies which shall promote the welfare of wage-earning women, improve their working conditions, increase their efficiency, and advance their opportunities for profitable employment." Yet after the war, many women were not able to keep their new jobs. Men returning from the battlefront expected women to return home and open up jobs for male workers.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Terry's from Santa Fe, listening on KTRC there in Santa Fe, sent me an email saying, "Rick, you're correct on all counts. Outsourcing, high CEO pay slash parachutes and corporate consolidation has caused the disintegration of the middle class." She writes, "Tennessee, once considered the Athens of the East, is now, I just keep thinking, WTF. Bombing, shootings, legislative misdeeds, repealing voting rights, racist policies, banning books. The rats are running the ship." And not wrong. The rats are in charge. And no more of that can be seen than looking at Trump's campaign people and the fact that Steve Bannon is still lurking around. In fact, it just came out that, I didn't mention yesterday that RFK Jr. Announced he's going to run for president as a Democrat. Didn't mention it. Don't care. Not an RFK Jr. fan. But Bannon has now come out and said he spent months recruiting RFK Jr. to get out there, push the anti-vax stuff, because you got to push that and divide the Democratic Party. And we're going to see a lot of these shenanigans. You look at the no labels people who've got $70 million to use to divide and conquer Democrats in this moment. And look, I think what happened in Tennessee today should be one of those moments, one of those rallying cries to pull people back together, to understand that democracy is under attack. And I know my conservative friends who we're not a democracy, Rick. We're a constitutionally limited democratic republic. Yeah, where the ballot box is still the center of the whole thing. The sanctity of that ballot box is what keeps this all together. And not having one side or the other abuse its power. What we are seeing now are power grabs. The Republicans are making major power grabs. The question is can our judicial system hold? We went through 4 years of an authoritarian Trump. We're now looking at state houses across this country where they are literally taking people's rights away. And I look at this trans issue. I've said before, and I've had a couple friends who have transitioned. And in those conversations, I've always said the same thing. I don't understand it. I'm probably never going to understand it, but I hope this is what you need. I hope this helps you lead your best life. Hope this makes you happy. And I'm going to try everything that I can to be helpful. This is one of those moments as a society where they're trying to tear us apart on these things. And I'm struggling with the kind of power grabs we're seeing. And look, this trans issue, I don't get it. But what I see Republicans doing is wrong. And, the Supreme Court, years ago said, you'll know pornography when you see it. You'll know corruption when you see it. You'll know the kind of hate baiting that goes on when you see it. And we saw that today in Tennessee. We saw that in Kansas, and we see it in Arkansas. We see it in a lot of these states who are doing these. I got to look at your genitals bills. When does it end? And this is where I'm hoping the sane, the rational, the people who do believe, as I do believe, in our Constitution and the foundation of this country, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness for each individual. I may not like, I may not understand, I may not agree with, but I don't have to, as long as it doesn't infringe on my rights. And the sooner we come around to that as a country, I think the better we're going to be, because maybe we could start pushing back on all of the other things that are happening to us that are much worse and much more important.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
News